Hello, everybody. This is Jessica Stewart, and I'm here with Susan Hyatt.
Hello.
I'm like, say hello, Susan. And today we're going to be talking to you about, these are supplemental calls for The Power of Story, and we're going to be talking to you about generating referrals for your coaching practice. And we are going to be tying it back to the concept, the idea, the power of story. And first, I think we just want to clear up. It's so funny whenever we do these marketing calls, I can almost feel people on the line freezing in terror or falling asleep instantaneously.
Or doing shots of vodka.
Or doing shots of vodka, yes. And I think one of it is because there's such a myth around these marketing topics. And I think one of the ones, at least for me when I was going through coach training, was this whole generating referrals class.
Mm-hmm.
And I think part of it is we make it a very complicated idea. Referral marketing is really, it's a marketing tactic. It's a way to get your business out into the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's a form of marketing, but it's not the end-all, be-all. You don't have to make it a thing. It doesn't have to be this big, and now I will set aside time to generate referrals for my business.
Oh, my God. Is that your marketing voice?
How did you know? It's like my voice of God and voice of marketing.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be any big thing. It can just become something that you think about and part of what you do, but it's like any other marketing vehicle. It's just one stream to the ocean.
And so you can make it as complicated or as simple as you like. And when sort of the last marketing class, the getting your practice out into the world class, we will give you a roadmap, almost literally a roadmap, except it's not a literal roadmap, but like a map. I'm gonna keep talking about something else because that got awkward. But it's going to be, this is one thing that you would put on that map that you would try to help get people to come to your business. And so let's start by, what is a referral? How do you think of referrals for your coaching practice?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, a referral is pretty simple. It's when someone sends you business, period. And it could be a one-on-one client. It could be an opportunity to write or speak. But it's when one human being or company sends you coaching business.
It's when they like what you're saying / doing / writing about, and they can want to connect you with somebody else out in the world that could benefit from your experience, from your knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of different ways that you can really do that. I think the simplest way is word of mouth, which is people know they've read something of yours or they know your story, ha-ha, tie into the larger class, mm-hmm. and they say, hey, I know Susan Hyatt helps women create what they crave, and so I want to I'm gonna send this person along to Susan.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of social platforms as well. You can do it on Facebook. I've actually filled entire workshops on my person, not just my own, but for friends. Like my friend Betsy was doing a writing workshop, and I think I ended up filling her workshop because I posted on my Facebook group Facebook page that she was offering it. That's a referral.
Mm-hmm.
There's other social platforms, Twitter, Yelp. You could do a listing on Yelp. You could do a listing on, there's that New Me, NOOMII. I've gotten referrals from that as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also really the simplest form of affiliate programs, affiliate marketing programs. To me, that's a very, very obvious form of referral marketing. Do you participate in any affiliate programs?
Yeah, it's rare that I do because I really am picky and choosy about what I refer business to. But, for example, this week I'm sending out an email. I'm an affiliate for Gail Larson's Real Speaking and Transformational Speaking Programs. And so the way that works, for those of you who don't know what an affiliate program is I have basically a special link that I send to my people and I say, hey, this is an amazing program, and if you click on it and sign up, Gail sends me a referral fee for sending her business.
Yep. Well, and Martha Beck, Inc. actually has a referral, or sorry, an affiliate marketing program
yes.
as well. And you get 50% commission on her digital products and sometimes mm-hmm. like 30% or so on programs. I really liked what you said, too. It's you don't do a lot of affiliate marketing, mm-hmm. but for things that you really support and believe in. I'm the same way. I use a mind mapping software, MindMeister, and mm-hmm. so I signed up for their affiliate program because I actually really want people to use it. Mm-hmm. And I like the idea of making a little bit of cash for doing marketing on their behalf. That's just another form of referral marketing, using somebody else's word of mouth to generate business for yourself, or vice versa.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty simple.
Yeah.
You know, it's not – I think I got pretty used to what a referral is and how to create conditions for referrals because in my previous life I was a real estate agent. And mm-hmm. that business is based largely on referral business, either through, like, relocation companies or just word of mouth. But realtors depend on referrals. And so it became an easy way for me to create a referral sort of culture in my own business as a coach.
And I so agree, too. I think that the biggest, I mean, this is a very simple topic, and yet I know in the past we've gotten a lot of concerns and questions about it. I think ultimately it's really about being comfortable asking for a referral, which we're going to talk about in a moment. But that to me is, you know, the way you ask for a referral or the way you actually do referral marketing, it's not complicated. It's creating the right conditions for it and then actually having a process to do it. So what are some of the ways that you can actually create a really good condition for referral marketing in your coaching practice? Like for you, how do mm-hmm. you do that?
Well, I think the number one thing always is to be doing great work. You know, to be doing...
Don't suck.
Yeah. Well, be willing to suck.
Or be willing to suck, but don't suck. No.
Well, you know, whatever it is that's your thing, you know,
yeah.
be doing it to the best of your ability. And that makes it really easy for people to send you business. So there's that. And also being super clear with people about what it is that you do.
Yeah.
What kind of referrals you're looking for. So, you know, this goes back to the power of story because in the class we talk about how when you know your WXYZ, that's amazing and great. So, you know, what are your superpowers? Who do you use them for to solve what problem? And then so that they can do what? And that's all great, but frame it using story so that people can easily send you business because they'll remember the story like, oh, yeah, she just helped someone lose 50 pounds and there wasn't a single diet involved.
Yep.
You know, that's, you know, doing amazing work and then also helping people tell your story so they can send you business and letting them know, well, I work one-on-one with people or I have a retreat that I'm filling in Savannah or you know, hey, I have a book that I'm promoting right now. Whatever it is that you're looking for, make sure that people understand what kind of referrals you're seeking.
Yes. You know, and I think that to kind of add on to the doing great work, it's not being afraid. You actually talk about this a lot, which is going in with a palms up attitude. How can I serve?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a really great, sort of precondition, if you will. Mm-hmm. Where you can go in, just going in with the attitude of serving, then actually delivering on what you hope. And delivering on it doesn't mean you have to be this results-driven jerk about it. It's just
right.
When you go in with the attitude to serve, it's much easier to help somebody achieve their goals because you don't have an agenda. You're not attached
right.
to an outcome.
Right.
that in and of itself is sort of that precondition to creating great referrals. Mm-hmm. But then really being very, very explicit about your W, X, Y, Z. What are your gifts, and then how do you create results in the world for what problems? And I think, you know, you do a really good job with that. Thank God. I mean, you teach all these marketing classes, I would hope. Otherwise,
you.
That would be awkward.
That would be really bad.
But, you know, even though you have sort of three distinct streams of business happening, you work with entrepreneurs, you work with weight loss clients, then you also do general life coaching.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're so clear, first you start with this palms up attitude, then you are willing to suck at it, and so you put yourself out there a lot, and then you don't suck because you're really good at what you do. But you're also explicit about the message and what you do for each of those areas. That is a really clear condition for success. There's really no other magic in that except that you are and consistent. You do it over and 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 over again.
Yeah. I mean, it's sort of, and that kind of goes back to some other marketing classes of,
yep.
You know, having business hours and showing up. What are you doing during those business hours? But that's a different call.
But it speaks to what we've talked about because they'll have, I think, already had those classes as well.
Yeah.
So, cool. So how do you actually ask for referrals? You have a few tools. I have a few tools. One of the tools you use is this 3-2-1 tool
yes.
that they'll get a handout for. Can you explain it briefly for
the 3-2-1? I just want to say, I was the least likely entrepreneur. I never considered myself an entrepreneur. And I valued, in my previous life, before I became a real estate agent, security above freedom at that point in my life. And when I went into real estate, I did it because I wanted to help Scott start his own company. So he's kind of what I would consider the entrepreneur's entrepreneur. And I, on accident, learned how to be an entrepreneur. And one of the ways was I created this little 3-2-1 tool because I wanted to vomit when they told me to network and do all the things that real estate agents do to get business. And so I didn't want to call anybody I didn't know, and I didn't want to do all that stuff. So 3-2-1 was born out of me trying to find a way to create business that was different than what was being taught to me. And it's basically this, and I'll explain in a minute because you're going to want to end the recording when I tell you. Three is three phone calls. Two is two thank you notes. And one stands for one face-to-face per day that you have business hours. So it's important to know when your business hours are and every day that you're having business hours. 3-2-1. Let me explain. Three phone calls isn't to cold call. Three phone calls are what I would call warm calls. Call people that you know and you like. And you're not calling to say, hey, I got a coaching program to sell you. You're just calling with that palms up mentality mm-hmm. to talk about what you're excited about with your coaching practice. So you might call your sister. You might call your BFF. You might call, you know, your mom. I don't care who it is, but it's to get you
Former.
In the practice of calling people and saying, oh, I'm so excited. I'm in this Martha Beck training, and I'm working on doing a podcast, or I'm learning whatever the new tool is you're learning. But it's getting you talking about coaching and the parts of it that you're excited about. So I would call people and say, I'm writing a blog post about, you know, Ryan Hyatt. And,
no.
you know, and that I just got called down to the principal's office and what that was like and what I learned from it. So, again, you're just calling to talk about coaching. And
so,
what happens, yes.
Yeah, no, go ahead. I was excited about what you were going to say. So you can
yeah. So what happens is you're not selling them anything. You're telling them stories, the power of story. You're telling them stories about what's going on with you and then also to be genuinely interested in what's happening with them. What happens when you do that is that people talk about what it is that you're doing, or they get excited and start making connections like, oh my gosh, my cousin was just talking about that. She would love to know more about that. It just happens organically if you do this.
Well, and I think it also creates a confidence for you as the coach, mm-hmm. because you're getting comfortable with your story, what it is that you are doing in this world, and you're getting immediate, instant feedback about it,
mm-hmm.
in a sort of non-graspy, non-sort of, I don't know, there's very little consequence to it other than positive. There's no, you're not standing on a stage. You're just having a conversation. And
yeah.
so you're open and receptive to receiving the feedback you'll get.
Yeah. Yeah, and you get experience talking about being a coach, which is what I'm betting most of you listening to this recording are terrified to do.
I was.
Oh, I was too. I really was. So 3 phone calls. Then 2 thank you notes, which is just having an attitude of gratitude. So you could thank your friend who talked to you about how excited you are. You could thank your hairdresser. You could thank anybody about any damn thing. But get in the habit of thanking people on a regular basis. What happens when you do that is people remember you. People love it, especially if it's snail mail. No one does that anymore.
Well, and I think what's beautiful about that is you're doing it outside of a gratitude journal.
Mm-hmm.
You're actually putting your gratitude into the world. You're not only transforming yourself, which is sort of the idea of gratitude, is noticing the good things in your life, but you're actually helping other people notice the good things in their life. Makes you very, very memorable. Like,
yeah.
Oh, right. Susan Hyatt is a really nice person. Jessica Stewart, on the other hand, never writes a thank you on the
Jessica
list.
Stewart. But what you know, and there have been, when I've taught this tool in the training program, there are always a few coaches who immediately write me a thank you note to start practicing this tool. And it's amazing because I remember who they are.
Yes.
So fascinating. Okay, and then the one face-to-face. Now, I am not necessarily talking about giving a boardroom presentation, although it could be that, but it could be more that you talk to your local barista about your coaching practice as you ask to hang a flyer in the coffee shop, or you have a Skype date with somebody that you're interested in learning more about what they're doing, or you know, it could be a coffee date with someone that you talked to on the phone the week before, whatever. But I always tell this story. There was this little real estate manager in my office that kind of looked like Mr. Magoo. He was so cute. And he would, if we were sitting around drinking coffee in the real estate office, he would go up and down the hall shouting, "See the people, see the people, see the people." And he was right. He was right in that you can't really generate business if you're not seeing the people. And with modern technology, we can hide behind social media sometimes. And I actually think it's really powerful to get out in your local community and look a human being in the eyeballs and talk about what it is you're doing.
It is, again, it's that powerful, visceral feedback that you can get by being in the presence of another human being.
Mm-hmm.
Social media, websites, the internet, it's a flat medium. It's not something that has the dynamism, is that a word?
we're going to run with it.
Basically, it's not a dynamic media that lets you see someone's eyebrow raise or helps you read their body language and know what's working and what's not working. And it doesn't always work. You know, I've been to networking events, which is a referral. It's a place where you can generate referrals for your business. And some of them were really good, and some of them were like the seventh realm of hell for me.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the challenge, you know, when you talk about this playing to your edge, is when you play to your edge and do something like the 3-2-1 tool, is you're getting a sense of what works and what doesn't work for your business too. So,
mm-hmm.
So doing a website and then being surprised when your business doesn't grow because you're not doing it, you're not investing anyplace else.
Right.
It's not surprising. Websites don't generate referrals for your business unless you're out there supporting it through these kinds of efforts.
I wholeheartedly agree. Yep.
So 3-2-1 tool, I remember when I first learned about the 3-2-1 tool, the way you described it, I was so in my head at the time. I probably still am, but I was so in it. You mentioned something about the example you gave was like you could go into your local yoga shop and I was like, I am not doing anything where I have to go in someplace and tell people. But going in and talking to a barista about life coaching or having coffee with someone, I can handle that.
Totally. Totally.
The example is like, shut me down. No.
Well, and I think that you can tweak this tool and figure out which way is going to work best for you. But what I have found, you know, even when I get a new project for my business, I use 3-2-1 for it. I'm working on Life is Delicious TV, the TV show right now. I'm using 3-2-1.
Find on your local listings. No.
It's a way of just getting comfortable talking about what it is that you do. And it is scary. It's like it's your art that you're talking about with people. Yeah. But the more you do it, the better you can get at it.
I agree.
And not all networking events are created equal. Some of them, like, you know, my local Rotary, blah.
But there are, you know, it's also an opportunity, especially if you're someone who feels comfortable starting stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You can start your own local meetup or your own local group where it's the shackles off networking event where people mm-hmm. can only come. You actually wrote a blog on this recently where it's like basically no small talk allowed. If you're going to come to this networking event, you've got to be willing to talk, you know, answer this really difficult question. And I think that's a great way of taking a tool and a very simple process like the 3-2-1 tool and finding a way to make it sing on your body compass. Because really all of these methods that we're talking about should feel shackles off. They don't have to be a plus 10. They could be a minus 2 and you can find a way to turn them into a positive. Don't just discredit it. Play with your body compass when sort of assessing these things.
Mm-hmm.
So another form, is that everything for 3-2-1? I apologize.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. Another process that I've really gotten a lot of good traction with is just having a very simple testimonial process.
Mm-hmm.
I actually hired someone and had a very simple survey and asked clients if they would be willing. Clients I knew had had some result in working with me, and I asked them if they'd be willing to do a testimonial, and I give them a really clear few questions that someone would then turn into a paragraph for me. I did it initially, and then I, you know, made so many big bucks that I hired somebody to do it. Pay attention to your body compass, everybody. And the testimonials on my website, I think that's been one of the most powerful. First of all, it's a form of story. I had this problem. I went to Susan/Jessica, and I had this result by working with them. You know, this was my story, and now I have a new story.
Mm-hmm.
That's a referral process as well. And so, you know, one of the things that I think people get really hung up around testimonials, Susan, is that they think that it's scary to ask for people's feedback.
Mm-hmm.
When I kind of got over that initial fear, I realized the real problem with asking for testimonials is I wasn't giving people a really clear idea of how to give a good testimonial.
Mm-hmm.
I would just sort of throw it out into the air and then run like hell.
Yeah. Would you give a testimonial? Click.
Yeah, and then run away.
Yes, hide.
If you give them clear direction on how to give a testimonial, I would say I've actually never had anybody turn me down for a testimonial.
I don't think I have either. Yeah.
I've been really pleasantly surprised by what I've gotten back as a result. It gave me confidence because I realized, in their words, how I helped someone else, which then gave me confidence to go out and do things like the 3-2-1 tool. So be really clear and explicit about that process, and the results are really kind of magnificent. And you can use them everywhere. You can use them in your newsletter. You can use them on your website. You can use them in your marketing materials. Just make sure you have that in your agreement. You know, how do they want to be referred to in these places? It might be, you know, male client, Los Angeles, California, or it might be, you know, Tim F. So get clear on how they want to be credited for their testimonial.
Yeah, I mean, and a testimonial is a story. It's a short story. And it goes back to the power of story.
It's like that video I did for you, which still makes me laugh when I watch it.
Which one? You made a couple of really good ones for me.
It's the testimonial video that I did for you where it's like, oh, you're here. Yeah, I've just been sitting here trying to come up with a way to explain how amazing Susan Hyatt is. And then I'm like going into, it's like, there'll be dancing beavers. And you remember that?
I need to go back and rewatch that. It's been a while.
But that's actually a great example too, is that you can use video testimonials mm-hmm. as well. Anyway, sorry, this isn't a class about testimonials. Clearly I'm passionate on the topic. It's a short story. It's exactly in 50 words to 100 words. It's a very short story. I think the final way to really ask for referrals, besides those two ways, is really just in producing content.
Mm-hmm.
Newsletters, blogs, email content. You know, it's putting content out into the world. It's like I was saying earlier, you can't just create a website and then run away. All of these things work together. Having a 3-2-1 process works really well if you're producing some level of content. I mean, even mm-hmm. if it's an email, that's still producing content.
Mm-hmm.
And those blogs and newsletters and things, those tend to be more of what I think of as indirect marketing versus direct marketing. I'm sure I'm totally butchering that, but it's like it's a seeding strategy. I'm putting it out into the world and getting, by putting my voice into the world, I'm getting results. You know, energy is coming, flowing back to me. It may not be as direct as I called this person and they set up an appointment with me. But it's all going to the greater good.
Yes. Well said.
So we talked a little bit about how to create a referral process. You talked about having office hours, which is really mm-hmm. important. My office hours, we won't talk about mine because they seem to be constant and perpetual, except for Fridays. See, oh, my God, I do have office hours.
You do.
But we also talked about how important it is to use your body compass.
Mm-hmm.
So modifying your process. Not doing it because you want to hide because it's scary. You still want to stretch yourself. Mm-hmm. But if the idea of going into your local yoga studio to put up a flyer is terrifying, like it was for me, find something that's less terrifying and more approachable but still has the energy of an in-face
mm-hmm.
Referral meeting, if you will. Mm-hmm. That sounds really technical.
Yeah, I mean, and I like what you said about, you know, make sure you're not hiding, because it's always so funny to me when coaches are like, that just feels shackles onto me.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that because that's just, no.
That's just shackles on. And it's like, well, sometimes it is, but many times it's just fear in your mind. Yes. Creating that sensation. And so it's like, well, what if it wasn't scary at all? What if you knew that you were going to be well received and everything was going to go swimmingly? Oh, yeah, then I do it. Okay, well, it's not shackles on then.
That's just a belief system at that point. And
yes.
I actually think that as coaches, we can be so tricky
mm-hmm.
because we know the lingo, we know and understand shackles on. versus shackles off, it's so easy for us to discredit and dismiss something because, well, my essential self is saying no. It's like, no.
That's I love your, that one, too.
That's your ego self still completely wrapped up in your story. So be on to yourself when it comes to this kind of process. This is how you get yourself out into the world. I mean, not just referrals, but it is a form of, it's a tactic to get yourself out into the world.
Yes. Yeah, I'm just in the rest cycle.
I'm
resting right now.
No.
Okay.
You're hiding.
Yes.
It's my favorite. I am a fact finder, so I can disparage them. I'm not disparaging you, fact finders. But I've noticed for myself, I will use my fact finding. I just need a little bit more information. Mm-hmm. I just need to know what I'm going to be walking into before I can go to this event or have this conversation or ask for this testimonial. Mm-hmm. That is also a form of hiding. So really being on to yourself is one of the most powerful marketing tools ever.
Oh, my gosh, yes. We can all do it.
So the final thing that we want to talk about is sort of the importance of connectors. So in Malcolm Gladwell's book, holy crap, which one is it?
StrengthFinder?
No, The Tipping Point.
Tipping Point, yes.
StrengthFinder, is that a book? What is it?
Yes, StrengthFinder 2.0.
Oh, StrengthFinder. I think you said ShrinkFinder. I'm like, what?
Yes, everyone, it's important to find a shrink so that you can 3-2-1.
As a life coaching program, we think it's important that you have a psychiatrist. Anyway, so in The Tipping Point, he talks about different types of people who help create epidemics in the world, positive or negative. Mm-hmm. But one of the most important in terms of referral marketing is the connector. And the connector is that person who loves putting people together that have something in common. It's they can't help themselves. Mm-hmm. They're the ones who, I sort of think of them as collectors of stories.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know Susan's story, and I know my friend, I always want to say Susie, but I can't talk about my friend Susan and my other friend Susie, although it's probably not unlikely, but my friend Jen really has been struggling and struggling with losing weight, and she hates dieting. It's never successful. I'm going to put the two of them together. I'm going to recommend Susan's program to her because I know Susan helps women and men lose weight without ever having to be on a diet. Mm-hmm. That is the power of being a connector. I know Susan's story. I know my friend Jen's story. I'm connecting those two. And there are some people in our culture who are culturally connectors. It's all they do. I'm an information maven. I love information, but I also love connecting people. But there are some people who can't. I mean, they're crazy. Do you know any, like, really strong connectors?
Yes. The thing to realize is that you probably only know a couple.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like everybody's a connector. And if you are a connector yourself, then you may know more than that. But it's typically you only know a handful of connectors, and they're the people who they've always got a guy or a girl. You know, you need your house painted, oh my gosh, they know just the right person. Or you talk about something that's a problem for you, they're going to give you a book, they're going to give you a person to talk to. It's like they can't.
Me.
They're so excited about sharing resources for ideas, people, places, things. I mean, and I am a connector. I wouldn't say I mean, I'm raising teenagers, so I'm probably less of a connector right now than I have been. But connector, it's impossible, really, to be a burden to a connector because they love that stuff. Like, they want, you are making them happy to connect you with someone.
Yeah, you know, the people I've often met that are connectors, the really good ones tend to be realtors. My realtor was a classic connector. She collected information, and then it was her joy to help. Even years after we had bought our house, we would occasionally reach out to Kathy and say, "Hey, do you know a really good house painter?"
Mm-hmm.
Because It's the nature of her business, but it's also the nature of her nature, her true
mm-hmm.
nature, is she
mm-hmm.
likes creating that. And I love that you said there's only a handful, because I always forget that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, God, I couldn't think of names. It's like, well, that's because we're kind of a rare breed.
Yeah, I mean, you probably only know a couple of them. And if you guys are thinking about, you know, getting some of your coaching hours in by offering your services for free to some people,
yep.
or 3-2-1-ing it or whatever, it's actually a very strategic move to reach out to connectors. So go through your database of names. I used to say Rolodex. No one really uses those anymore. But go through your address book, whatever it is that you use, and see if you can identify in your family or your church groups or your PTAs or what any people you know, who's that person that they've always got a guy or a girl for you.
Mm-hmm.
And make that part of the folks that you reach out to, because they're a safe bet. They're going to be excited. They get excited by ideas. Because they collect stories and information, they want to have stuff like that to talk about.
Yeah.
They want it. Like, I love it when I hear about a new service or a new whatever.
I like a web designer or
oh, my God, I need a web designer.
Okay. Well, we'll talk. But that's a great example of how connectors share information. I actually, you and I both being sort of, I guess we are both connectors,
mm-hmm.
we share and swap a lot of information and,
mm-hmm.
and use a lot of resources. Sometimes it feels like our world is very small, and I'm like, yeah, but that's because we know it. We've got it. And then when we get unhappy with someone, we put something new into our network. So,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We're very valuable friends to have, so be nice
yeah.
to us. Send us a thank you note. But I think the thing that I want to say, too, about connectors is it's very important that if you want to sort of perpetuate and have a long, ongoing relationship, it's okay. I've gone to connectors. Like, my friend Rachel is a connector, and I got 3 clients through her.
Mm-hmm.
It was really helpful, but I didn't know what my coaching practice was, so they weren't long-term viable clients. I didn't know what my focus was. I didn't have an XYZ. I was using it as a way to find it. Totally okay.
Mm-hmm.
Keep your connector up to date on what you're doing. Make sure that you give them your new story, because otherwise they're going to keep getting bogus referrals. Because for a while, I hadn't committed to sort of what kind of coaching I wanted to do. And so Rachel kept sending me the same sort of generic stuff. It was
mm-hmm.
when I went back and I was clear with her, oh, thank you so much. Love you. Love you, mean it. I then told her the kind of coaching, and then my referrals became a little bit more focused. Don't be afraid to go back and be clear. Like, oh, I've changed my focus. Actually, here's what it is. Because otherwise you're going to get a lot of referrals and they may not be on point, which is, you know, that's okay.
That's all right. It's good sometimes to experience the contrast. It helps you get clear.
Yeah, well, and that's actually, it was through my relationship with Rachel that I did get clear
mm-hmm.
on what I wanted to do, because she was so generous in giving me so much business. It's like, oh, mm-hmm. yeah, I don't like that person. I mean, not that I don't like that person, but anyway. Moving on. So that's generally, I mean, that's a really fast and high-level way of talking about referrals. There's actually there's lots of great books and resources. One of the ones that I have is, I think it's called The Referral Engine,
mm-hmm.
and I can't think of who it's by, and I can't find it on my bookshelf. Do you know that book?
Mm-mm. It sounds good, though.
Yes. Well, as you can imagine, it's all about referral marketing. So we will put that in your little resources for this class. But, you know, find some simple books.
John Jantz.
Yes, that's it. The same guy who did Duct Tape Marketing. Thank you.
Yeah.
Now I don't have to write it down. So The Referral Engine by John Jantz. However you say it.
Jantzch.
Just like that. All right, so that's referrals, and you will have a handout, which is your 3-2-1 handout, so you too can enter the realm of 3-2-1, Susan. All right, thank you.
Thanks, guys.